Amen. Well, it's a blessing to be here tonight. And what I'm going to be preaching on here this evening is the subject of the Jews. And specifically here tonight, there's a few things that we want to answer here tonight. And what we're going to look at is in the Bible, you know, who the Jews were throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament. How is it that they became Jews? And who are the Jews today? And of course, we started right there in Romans chapter number 2. And in Romans 2, at the very end of that chapter, it just flat out says in verse number 28, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Now tonight we're going to look at a multitude of scripture, and yet we still don't have time to look at all of the scripture that's in the Bible on this subject. In fact, if we were going to look at all the scripture on this subject here tonight, I would probably have to preach a 3-hour sermon just to fit it all in. And so it's amazing that in our generation that so many Christians have missed these truths, that they don't understand them. I often ask myself many times, how is it that I missed this all throughout my life, growing up, being raised Independent Baptist and reading the Word of God and believing that the King James Bible is the perfect Word of God? And listen, if we believe that the King James Bible is the perfect Word of God, then that means that we must believe all of it. That if it contradicts what we've been taught, if it contradicts the things that we have learned in the past, then we don't go with what we've learned in the past. Then we go with what the Word of God says. And all of us know that in times past, we've been taught that the chosen people of God were the physical descendants of Israel, and that we who were Gentiles, that we were second class, that we were the red-headed stepchild that was brought in. And we know, according to the Bible, just from this one scripture, that that is false. Because the Bible says, hey, they are not Jews. They're outward in the flesh. Circumcision is not outwardly in the flesh, the Bible says. But circumcision is that of the heart. Now, let's get into the message here tonight. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter number 16 here tonight and look at verse number 5. And so what we want to look at here tonight, first of all, is what the word Jew even means in the Bible. If you were to ask the average Christian out there, you know, what that word means, what does it mean, the word Jew? If you were to just go around and take a poll, you know, most of them would tell you, well, it means all 12 tribes of Israel is what they would say. It's referring to the nation of Israel is what they would say. And we know, according to the Word of God, that that simply is false. Now, let's look at what the Bible, 2 Kings chapter number 16 and verse number 5, and this is the first time in the Bible that the word Jew is you. So look at 2 Kings chapter number 16, verse number 5. And the Bible says right there, "Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him." Now notice what's going on here. Here in the scripture, there's something that's taking place. You have two kings there that are coming up against Jerusalem. And if you're not familiar with the scriptures, let me just give you kind of some of the backstory of the Old Testament there. That after the days of David and after the days of Solomon, of course, Solomon disobeyed the Lord. And Solomon raised up altars to false gods. And because he departed from the way of God in his older age, God then split the kingdom after the days of Solomon into the two kingdoms of Judah and Israel. Israel, of course, having its capital as Samaria, and Judah having its capital as Jerusalem. And so now we get to this point here where it is the king, King Rezin of Syria, teaming up with the king of Israel, and they are coming to Jerusalem to attack Jerusalem. Now look at what the Bible has to say there. Verse number 6, and the Bible says, "And at that time king of Syria recovered Elath to Syria, and drave the who? The Jews, the Bible says, from Elath, and the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there unto this day. So that word Jews, in the first place in the Bible where it is used, it is referring to those who are of the nation of Judah. And listen, in order to be of the nation of Judah, you did not have to be of the tribe of Judah. There were many within the nation of Judah that were not of the tribe of Judah. Primarily, the nation of Judah, of course, consisted of the tribe of Judah, and then also of the tribe of Benjamin, and then many of the Levites that were there. And then also, during one of the godly kings of Judah's lifetime, when he was reigning, he sent word up to Israel and told everybody there in Israel, hey, if you want to serve the one true God, just come on down to Israel. And so some of the people from some of the other tribes came and joined that nation. And in order to be part of the nation of Judah, what was it that you had to do? And that's what we want to see here tonight. In order for someone to become a Jew, what was it that they had to do? And so let's take our Bibles, go to, first of all, Esther chapter number 8 and look at verse number 17. Just one quick verse right there in Esther. And then if you want to take your finger and go ahead and go over to Numbers chapter number 15. So Numbers chapter number 15 is where we're going to go next. And quickly, I'm just going to read one verse out of Esther right there. And the Bible says in Esther chapter number 8 and verse number 17, the Bible says, and in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. And so you see right there in the book of Esther that many of the people of the land there, that they became Jews. Well, how was it that they became Jews? Well, I would submit to you that it was that they joined the nation of Israel, that they put aside their false gods, and that they decided to worship the one true God, because that's what you see all throughout the Bible, that if people would put aside their false gods, they were allowed to come in, if they would take the sign of circumcision, if they would keep the Passover, they were allowed to come into the nation of Israel and into the nation of Judah, and the Bible says that they were as one born in the land. Now listen, if I brought someone up here who was not an American citizen, listen, I was born here, right? I was born into this country. I was born with an American citizenship. And if I brought somebody up here who was not born in this land, but they went through the process and they got their citizenship, and I said they're as one born in the land of America, what am I saying? I'm saying that they're just like me, aren't I? I'm saying that they have every right and privilege that I enjoy as an American that they enjoy also. And this is what we're going to see in the Word of God, that when God says this of the strangers in the Bible, that He is saying that they have every right, that they have every privilege, and that they also get to enjoy the promises that God made to Israel. Now let's take our Bibles there and let's go ahead and go to Numbers chapter number 15 and look at verse number 13 right there, Numbers chapter number 15 and verse number 13. And the Bible says right there, it says Numbers 15, 13, all, now listen, we're not Calvinists, are we? What does that word right there mean? Means all, amen. Look what the Bible says. All that are born of the country shall do these things after this manner, in offering an offering made by fire or of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if a stranger sojourn with you, or whatsoever be among you in your generations, and will offer an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord, as ye do, so he shall do. One ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation, and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever in your generations, as ye are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. Now, what did God just say there? Did he say that there's a difference between the two? But yet, what is it that Christians try to act like today in our nation of America and throughout this land? They try to act like there's a difference between the Jew and the Gentile, when the Bible clearly tells us that there is no difference, the Bible says, that God is no respecter of persons, the Bible says. You see, God doesn't care where you come from. God doesn't care who your father was. God cares whether you've trusted in him or not. And it's always been the same throughout all history, throughout all ages. Dispensationalism is a lie. And dispensationalism was created for the fact of trying to protect Zionism. Because Zionism is a false doctrine that cannot stand on its own. So they had to create a false doctrine to try to prop it up is what they did. Now let's look at some more scripture here this evening. Just going to lay the foundation here tonight. Go to the book of Exodus chapter number 12 and look at verse number 43. And there's a phrase back there that we just read in Numbers 15. When it talked about the stranger, it talked about the stranger that would come in and that would sojourn among them. And I want you to notice that there is a difference between that stranger that would sojourn among them and just some stranger that would come in and that would just kind of go through the land, just a normal stranger that did not believe in their gods, that was a different kind of a stranger. Now let's just look at this in the Bible. Go to Exodus chapter number 12 and look at verse number 43. Exodus chapter number 12, verse number 43. And the Bible says this right there, Exodus 12, 43. And the Bible says, it says right there, and the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. Now, what did the Bible just say? Pretty simple, isn't it? That no stranger is to eat of that Passover. Now, if we just took that one verse out of there and took it out of context, then we could say, well, see, there's a difference between the stranger and the Israelite. Now let's just look at what the Bible has to say. Go on down further. Let's read a little bit more. And the Bible says in verse number 48, go ahead and right there, or verse 47, let's start there. And it says, and all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall do what? Shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord. Let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. And so when the Bible said earlier that no stranger was to eat of the Passover, it was talking about strangers that were uncircumcised. It was talking about strangers that did not believe in the God of the Israelites, that did not believe in the God of Judah, that weren't serving the one true God. But then it makes it plain that, hey, if a stranger will come in and they sojourn among you and they will keep the Passover and they'll be circumcised and they'll cause all their males to be circumcised, they became a what? They became an Israelite. That if they would do that, then they were allowed to partake of the Passover, because then in the eyes of God, they're no different than the Israelites. Look back at what the Bible has to say. In fact, go ahead and let's take our Bibles and go to Ezekiel chapter number 47. Look at verse number 13. Now I want to show you something here in the Word of God, that not only did the strangers in the Old Testament, not only did they come in, not only did God say that there is a different, or that there was no difference between them, and that they were as one born in the land. Because what would a pre-tribber say? What would a Zionist say to that? What would they say? They'd probably say, oh, that just means that God loves them just like he loves everyone. I mean, after all, for God to love the world, that he gave his only begotten son. And they'd say, they'd try to twist it in that way. But even in the Old Testament, not only did God say that they would be as one born in the land, that they were given every right and privilege, that they were able to partake of the Passover, that they were able to be circumcised in the Old Testament, but also in Ezekiel chapter number 47, the Bible makes it clear that they, the strangers that would come in and sojourn among them, were given inheritance in the land. Now let's look at what the Bible has to say, because after all, we've been told our entire lives that, hey, that land, it belongs to the Jews. That land, it belongs to the Israelites, and they can do whatever they want. They can kill whoever they want to kill. They can drive out of that land whoever they want to drive out of. After all, it's the land that God gave to them. And listen, the mainstream Christianity, all they have done is followed along exactly with what Scofield has said. Because it was C.I. Scofield in his notes that said that Israel, in order to obtain every promise that God had given to Israel, that all they had to do was just to abide in the land. Now, is that true? Is that what the Word of God says? No, absolutely not. I mean, there's a funny little two-letter word that God put in the Bible, and it's this word, if. Makes a big difference, doesn't it? That if you will obey me, if you will keep my commandments, if you will believe me, then they were allowed to dwell in the land. Then they were allowed to inherit the promises. Now look at Ezekiel chapter number 47, and let's look back at verse number 13 just for context's sake, because I want you to see this, that in this portion of Scripture, we're talking about how that the land was going to be divided up amongst the 12 tribes of Israel. Now look at what the Bible has to say there, Ezekiel 47, verse number 13. And the Bible says right there, thus saith the Lord God, this shall be the what? Border whereby ye shall inherit the land according to what? According to the 12 tribes of Israel, Joseph shall have two portions. So everybody, we're in agreement, aren't we? That right now, at least in this verse, we're talking about how that the land is going to be divided up. Now let's skip on down. You can go back and read this if you want to, if you want to verify it. But let's go down to verse number 21. Look what the Bible has to say right there in verse 21. And it says in verse 21, so shall ye divide this what? This land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. So verse number 21, verse number 13, so far we're talking about how that the land is going to be divided, aren't we? Well, let's look on farther down. Look at what the Bible has to say. Verse number 22, and it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you and to the what? Strangers that would do what? That sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance with you, the Bible says, among the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, there shall ye give him his inheritance, saith the Lord. And so that one scripture right there puts this all the rest, doesn't it? That land does not just belong to the physical seed of Israel, but even in the Old Testament, that there were strangers that would come in, that would sojourn among them, that kept the Passover, that were circumcised, that believed in the one true God. And when they would do this, the Bible says that they were given inheritance in the land. Now listen, how hard is that to understand? I mean, when we read that and we see that scripture there, is that difficult to comprehend? I mean, everybody here speaks English, don't we? I mean, when the Bible says that they were given inheritance among whatsoever tribe they sojourned in, what does that mean? That in whatever tribe they were in, whatever tribe they were sojourning in, that's where they were given their inheritance. If I was a stranger and I came in and I chose to sojourn amongst the tribe of Judah, that's where I was given inheritance. If I decided to go in the tribe of Dan, that's where I was given inheritance. In the tribe of Gath, that's where I was given inheritance. They were given inheritance of the land. And guess what? They weren't the physical seed of Israel, because I submit this to you, that the physical seed of Israel never amounted to a hill of beans. That God did not care about that. Even in the Old Testament, that God gave his promises by the sign of circumcision unto Abraham. Now speaking of that, let's go back to Genesis chapter number 17. And let's look at what the Word of God has to say there. Genesis chapter number 17. And this is something that I'm going to expound more on Saturday. So I'm going to give you a little bit here, just a little bit of a taste of it. And then Saturday, I'm going to hit this point pretty hard. But look at what the Bible has to say here. Genesis chapter number 17. And look at verse number 7. And in Genesis chapter number 17, we have there, this is the place where Abraham is given the sign of circumcision. Because so far, that's what we've been basically talking about, right? We've been talking about circumcision. Look what the Bible has to say, Genesis 17. Look down at verse number 7. The Bible says right there, "And I will establish my covenant between me and who?
Thee."
Now that's singular, isn't it? Hey, this is why your King James Bible is important, because the these and the thous are important, and thee is a singular word. And when God was speaking to Abraham, who was he speaking to there? To Abraham. Now look at what the Bible has to say. Verse number 7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy" what? "Thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy" what? "Thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy" what? "Thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Now let's stop reading there. What we see here in the Word of God, and you can look this up here, Genesis 17, Genesis chapter number 15, Genesis chapter number 12, that when God speaks to Abraham, he says that these promises are to Abraham and his seed, the Bible says. Now let's go ahead and go in the Word of God to Galatians chapter number 3 and look at verse number 16 and see what the Word of God has to say over there. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 16, because we want to find out who the seed is. And I'm going to go into this more again on Saturday about who the seed is and go into it into some detail and also show you that, you know, Scofield in his notes changed who the seed was. That Scofield, when you read the commentary of Scofield, and in fact, by the way, when you read the modern Bible versions, they change who the seed is. In fact, what they will say is that the seed was the physical descendants of Abraham. They'll say it was the descendants or the family of Abraham or the offspring of Abraham or something to that effect. But we want to find out what the Bible says, right? Because look at what the Word of God has said, Galatians chapter number 3, and look down at verse number 16. The Bible says this, Galatians chapter number 3, verse 16, and it says, "Now to Abraham and his" what? "And his seed were the" what? "Promises." Now promises, is that singular or plural? Plural, right? So that means many promises. That means all the promises that God made to Abraham. Hey, what promises does that include? That includes the land, does it not? That includes about Abraham's seed being as the stars of heaven, being as the sand of the seashore, about making an everlasting covenant with them, about how that God would be their God and they would be his people. Those are the promises that God made to Abraham. And the Bible says that God made those promises to Abraham and his seed. Now look back at what the Bible says here, Galatians 3:16. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed," which is what? Which is Christ, the Bible says. And so the Bible makes it clear that the promises that God made to Abraham, God made them to Abraham and to his seed, which is Christ. That the promises God made were to Abraham and the Lord Jesus Christ, not the physical descendants. Because listen, if you believe that the promises were to the physical descendants, then you might as well become a hyper-dispensationalist. And you might as well, and so all Israel will be saved, and that all the Israelites are just going to automatically go to heaven, because after all, it's an everlasting covenant, isn't it? I mean, how exactly, explain this to me, how exactly would they ever go to hell if it was an everlasting covenant with them? How would that happen? But you see, the Bible says in the Old Testament that all the seed of Israel would be justified. Now, what seed is it talking about? It's talking about the seed that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look back at what the Bible has to say here. The Bible says again that it was Christ. Let's look on down verse number 18. And the Bible says right there in verse 18, "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise," the Bible says. Let's skip on down. We're not going to read this whole thing for time's sake tonight. Let's go down to verse number 26. And the Bible says, "For ye are," what's that word again? It's a funny word. That trips some people up, doesn't it? I mean, all means all, unless you're a Calvinist. But look at what the Bible has to say there. The Bible says, again, verse number 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are one in Christ Jesus." Now, did it say that you were two? Did it say that there are two groups of people? Or did it say that there is one according to the Word of God? You see, the Bible says that there is neither Jew nor Greek. Hey, we ought not to be glorifying in ourselves and in our flesh. In fact, the Apostle Paul didn't glorify in his flesh, did he? I mean, the Apostle Paul, what did he say about himself? He said, hey, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. And he said, I count it all but dung, he said. You see, what was it the Apostle Paul was counting but dung? It was his Jewish heritage that he was counting as dung, that he would win the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul didn't care about where he came from. He cared about what God cared about. Whether you believed in Christ or not. And if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are the people of God, and there is one people of God. Jesus Christ said, there are other sheep which are not of this fold, and them also I must bring in. Over and over and over again throughout the Word of God, the Word of God emphasizes one people of God. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation, it emphasizes one people of God. But yet Christians today have been deceived into thinking that there's two peoples of God. That there's the Jews and then there's everyone else, that we're just on the outside and the Jews are just a special people of God, and you have to bless the Jews if you're going to get the blessing of God. Listen, you go blessing somebody that's rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, that has not the doctrine of Christ, the Bible says that you have been made a partaker of their evil deeds. You go blessing somebody that lives in that wickedness, that curses the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a partaker of their evil deeds. Now let's look back at what the Bible has to say here again. We didn't finish it. It gets even better. Verse number 29. And the Bible says, and if ye be what? Christ. Then are ye what? Abraham's seed, the Bible says, and heirs according to the promise. That promise, the promises that God made to Abraham were to Abraham and his seed. And if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, then guess what? Then you're the seed of Abraham. And therefore those promises, they belong to you. Because all those God-rejecting, Christ-rejecting Jews, guess where they're going to go one day? They're all going to go to hell. And guess who's going to dwell in that land? We are. And guess who's going to dwell in the New Jerusalem? We are, according to the Word of God, not them, that their father is the devil. Now let's look at some more scripture. Let's continue moving on. Go ahead and go to Romans chapter number 4. And look at what the Bible has to say there. Romans chapter number 4. Look at verse number 11. Again, we've been putting a little bit of an emphasis on circumcision, and that's what it took in the Old Testament to become a Jew. That in order for someone to become a Jew in the Old Testament, or even before the nation of Judah, to become a member of the nation of Israelite, that they had to be circumcised, that they had to keep the Passover. And if they disobeyed God and they stopped believing God, what happened? Then God would kick them out of the land. Now look at it, Romans chapter number 4, and look down at verse number 11. And the Bible says this about Abraham. And it says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father. Hey, that's a funny word right there, isn't it? What is it again? Of who? Of all, the Bible says. It doesn't say some, does it? No, it says all. You know why? Because all who are of the faith are in that nation, and they're in Abraham is the father of them, the Bible says. Be the father of all them that believe, though they be not, what? circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So you see, in the New Testament, physical circumcision doesn't avail anything. That physical circumcision isn't worth anything in the New Testament. The Bible says neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything. You know why? Because it was a sign. It was a token in the Old Testament of the covenant that God had made to Abraham. And what do we see in the New Testament? That Jesus Christ has become the minister of our circumcision. And that's why we read in Romans chapter number 2, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, the scripture says, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. That circumcision isn't that of the flesh, but it's that of the heart, the Bible says. Now let's look at some more scripture. We got a lot of it to get to tonight. We're just in the foundation. Y'all buckle up tonight. Look back at what the Bible has to say, John chapter number 8, and look at what the Word of God has to say there, John chapter number 8 and verse number 37, and let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say about the Jews and about their heritage. John chapter number 8, verse number 37, and the Bible says this, John chapter number 8, verse number 37. If I can get my finger over there, there we go. John chapter number 8, verse 37, it says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Now, what was it that Jesus Christ said there? Did Jesus Christ glory in the fact that they were of Abraham? No, Jesus Christ said, hey, yeah, I know you're of your father Abraham. I know you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me. He said, you're not of Abraham's seed. You're of your father, the devil, the Bible says. You see, according to the Word of God, and this is all throughout the Bible, that even the Jews, the Israelites, if they did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if they did not believe God, then they were the children of the devil. From the end to the beginning, if they did not believe, if they turned away from God, then they were given over. They were given over to a reprobate mind. They were given over to follow the lust of their flesh. And Jesus Christ said, your father was a liar from the beginning. And isn't it a coincidence that in the book of Revelation, the only time the book of Revelation mentions the word Jew, it mentions it two times. And what does it say both times? It says that they are the synagogue of Satan. It says, I know them which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie and are the synagogue of Satan. Now listen, there's only one religion in the world that uses synagogues, right? And what religion is that? That's Judaism. That's the Jews today. That was the Jews in the time of Christ, because the Word of God had no place in them. You see, they had taken the Word of God, and they had cast it aside, and they had added to the things of God, and they had replaced the Word of God with the traditions of men. And they had replaced it with the traditions of the Pharisees and did not keep the commandments of God. Now, isn't that ironic that today in our age, in our day and age, if you believe in keeping the commandments of God, that what will people call you? They'll call you a legalist. They'll call you a Pharisee, won't they? But you know who the true Pharisees were in the Word of God? The Pharisees were the ones who weren't keeping the commandments of God. The Pharisees were the ones that transgressed the Word of God and the commandments of God by their traditions. You see, Jesus Christ taught the people of God that they were to continue to keep the commandments of God. Now let's move on. That's just a side point here tonight. That's just bonus. Let's move on. Let's go on. Go back to Romans chapter number 2. Let's look at some more scripture there. Romans chapter number 2. Look at verse number 7. Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 7. And see what the Word of God has to say there. And this was our text verse here this evening, our text scripture this evening, where we started out here tonight. We're going to go back there and look what the Bible has to say. Romans chapter number 2, verse number 7. The Bible says this: to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Notice this, tribulation and anguish upon every soul. Hey, that's a funny word there, isn't it? What does the word every mean? Means all, doesn't it? How many times have we seen that so far tonight? Look at what the Bible says there. Every soul of man that doeth evil, of the who? Of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. Now listen, are we King James only tonight? Amen. Then when the Bible says every, what does it mean? It means every. And when the Bible says to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, what does it mean? It means to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. That to every soul that obeyed not the truth, wrath and indignation and anguish upon every soul, the Bible says. Look back at what the Bible says there. The Bible says in verse number 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, for there is, what's that word? Man, that English language, it'll trip you up, won't it? I mean, that's too hard to understand for the pre-tribbers and for the Zionists, ain't it? That the word no means no, for there is no respecter of persons, the Word of God says. Hey, that word means no, it means not and no one. That there is no one that God respects, that God doesn't care about their flesh, that if you do not obey the truth, then wrath and indignation and anguish upon them. But to those that would obey the truth, to those who would hear the Word of God, that the Word of God would have place in them, glory and honor, the Word of God says, to every soul, whether Jew or Gentile, for there is no respecter of persons. Now listen, this is all throughout the Word of God, isn't it? That God says many times that He's no respecter of persons, that there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. But yet what is taught in most Baptist churches all throughout America tonight? It's taught that there is a difference between the two. And listen, they claim to be King James, don't they? Well, I challenge them on this. If you claim to be King James, then why don't you put aside your commentaries? Why don't you put aside C.I. Scofield? Why don't you put aside Matthew Henry? Why don't you put aside what you were taught in your Bible college and actually pull out your King James Bible and take it out and read it and study it and actually see what it means to actually rightly divide the Word of truth? Because they don't know how to rightly divide it. They've wrongly divided is what they've done. Let's look back at what the Bible has to say. Let's continue moving on. There's so much more scripture to look at. Go to Romans chapter number 9. And look at verse number 4. Romans chapter number 9, verse number 4. Romans chapter number 9, verse number 4. Y'all got to listen up a little bit better. I'm going to scream my voice out tonight. Bible says this, Romans chapter number 9. I'm used to it. I'm used to screaming my voice out. Romans 9, verse number 4, the Bible says this. It says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Now that's pretty clear. We're talking about the nation of Israel, aren't we? We're talking about those who are after the flesh, according to the Word of God. I mean, it makes it clear that's who Jesus Christ came through, right? According to the flesh. It makes it clear. But there are those that would try to weasel their way out of that, wouldn't they? They try to say, no, this isn't talking about those kind of people. It's just talking about people that claim to be Israel. Well, it says according to the flesh. Pretty easy to understand. Look at what the Bible says, verse number 6. Not as though the Word of God had taken none effect, for they are not. Funny little word again. Man, it'll trip you up. Look at what it says. Not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but, hey, when you see that word, but, what does that mean? Hey, it's a two-way street. I mean, you're going the opposite direction, aren't you? Before we were talking about Israel after the flesh. Now what are we about to talk about? Israel that's not after the flesh. Look at what it says there. It says, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed, the Bible says. Now that right there is replacement theology, isn't it? And listen, that's Bible-ology is what that is. That's found in the Word of God. I mean, listen, replacement theology is biblical. But yet they want to act like that's just like replacement theology is of the devil. You know, they're the ones who are of the devil, and their beliefs are of the devil, and it's the Satan and it's the devil who has confused them with all their false doctrine so that they cannot understand the Word of God and understand who the children of God are. Now look back at what the Bible says there. Again, it says there in verse number 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for what? For the seed. So according to the Word of God, what does the Word of God say? I mean, the Word of God makes it plain there. Hey, who's a Jew according to the Word of God? You know who a Jew is? I'm a Jew. You know who a Jew is? You're a Jew if you're saved, if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I submit to you that that's how it's always been. That God has had one plan of salvation throughout all ages, and it always included the Gentiles. It always included everyone. Everyone in this earth, that the Bible says that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world, the Bible says. Jesus Christ was always the plan. He wasn't plan B. I mean, listen, God's first plan wasn't just to only save the nation of Israel, but that's what these Zionists will act like. That was God's first plan, and when he failed, and listen, that's what C.I. Scofield is all about. You read his notes, and he's all about God's plan failing, and that's why he has his seven dispensations. That all these dispensations, that there had to be another way of salvation because the first way failed. Like, God gave his plan of salvation in the first age, and it failed. So then you had the second age, and it failed. And the third age, and it failed. And the fourth age, and guess what? It'll fail too, according to C.I. Scofield. But let me ask you, the Bible says that whatsoever God doeth, it lasteth forever, the Bible says. You see, the way of salvation has always been the same, and it's included everyone of all races, from all over the earth, of all tongues, of all nations. And God chose the children of Israel in the Old Testament to be a light to the world. And then because they failed, the kingdom of God was taken away from them. Now let's look at what the Bible has to say. Go ahead and go to John chapter number 5. And look at verse number 43. John chapter number 5. And verse number 43. And see what the Word of God has to say there. John chapter number 5. And verse number 43, and the Bible says this, John chapter number 5, verse 43. And he says there, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, and he says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye shall what? Ye will receive, he said. Hey, there's going to be another one that comes in the name of Christ. Pastor Anderson was talking about that before, wasn't he? That the Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to come in the name of Jesus Christ, and he's going to give some other names out there, trying to replace the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's going to come in his own name. Hey, what do you think the whole agenda about changing the name of Jesus to Yeshua or Yahweh or all this other nonsense is all about? It's all about replacing the name of Jesus. But the Bible says that there is one name given under heaven whereby we all must be saved. And what name is that? That's the name of Jesus Christ. But you see, it's the devil's agenda to try to replace that. And so he brings in Zionism, and he gets Christians all excited about everything Jewish. And before long, he wants them to go back to the Greek and to go back to the Hebrew and to try to replace the name of Jesus Christ. Hey, that's not the name of Jesus. You know what Jesus' name is? It's Jesus Christ. Hey, that's pretty simple, isn't it? That's not hard to understand, is it? You don't have to be a theologian to understand the Word of God. Look back at what the Bible has to say. The Bible says this. He said,
John chapter number 5 there. Look down at verse number 44, and he says, "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" And you see, Christians today have been tricked into thinking that the Jews actually believe the words of God. They've been tricked into thinking that the Jews actually believe the writings of Moses. I mean, how many times have we been told that the Jews, hey, they believe the Old Testament, they just don't believe the New Testament? Well, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Jesus Christ said, they didn't believe the words of Moses, for had they believed the words of Moses, they would have believed me, for he spoke of me, the Bible says. Now go to Matthew chapter number 21, and look what Jesus said would take place for the nation of Israel. And in Matthew chapter number 21 there, we'll not take time to read the entire passage, but throughout this passage, he talks about a parable there about some husbandmen that are out in the fields and the master is gone. And so he sends to them, you know, his servants to receive the fruit from them. And so they kill the servants. And then finally he sends his son unto them and they kill him as well. And this represented the prophets that the nation of Israel had killed. And then they killed the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what the Bible says about them. Matthew chapter number 21 and verse number 42. And the Bible says there, Matthew 21 verse number 42. And the Bible says, "Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." So Jesus Christ himself said, hey, the kingdom's going to be taken from you and given to another. Now, what do you think that means? Is that hard to figure out? Is that hard to understand? But you know what? These Zionists, they ignore all these scriptures. They'll only go to their key scriptures that they like and pull those things completely out of context. And listen, if you want to destroy false doctrine, you know what the first thing you ought to do is? You ought to go to the scriptures that they use. Because every time they take them out of context, and if you'll take them in their context, you can often debunk and destroy false doctrine just with the scriptures that they use alone, let alone the whole of Scripture. Look back at what the Bible has to say. In fact, let's go to Ezekiel chapter number 37. Because again, Zionists would say, Well, the nation of Israel, I mean, they came back into the land in 1948, that was a fulfillment of prophecy, that the Jews came back in, the Israelites came back in, and hey, they are one nation again. But listen, the prophecies in the Old Testament that have to do with the nation of Israel becoming a nation again, and Israel and Judah joining together, guess when that happens? That happens in the millennial kingdom. That's not going to happen during our lifetime. You know why? Because during the time of Christ, guess what had happened to the nation of Israel? You see, the nation of Israel had been destroyed. That there were heathen armies and nations that came in and they took the people of Israel and they scattered them throughout the nations. And then they brought in heathens and brought them into the land and they intermingled with the people there in the land. And before long, they became known as the Samaritans. Which is why the Jews in the time of Christ looked down on them and wanted nothing to do with the Samaritans. Why? Because they thought that they were mixed breeds. They thought that they were a mingled people, that they had lost their heritage. And listen, if they had lost their heritage during the days of Christ, we are 2,000 years later. What makes you think that somehow they regained that? And even if they did, the Bible tells us in the New Testament to avoid endless genealogies. That's why the last genealogy in the Bible that's given is the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the only genealogy that matters. Now look at Ezekiel 37 and look down at what the Bible has to say in verse number 15. Ezekiel chapter number 37 and verse number 15. And the Bible says right there, and it says, "The word of the Lord came unto me, again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, Take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand, and the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation, and in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be a king to them. Hey, who's that king? Who do you think that one king is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the millennial reign. And it says, and one king shall be a king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all, neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any other transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Notice this. So shall they be my people, and I will be their what? And I will be their God. Now, isn't it funny that all throughout the New Testament, all throughout the Bible, there's a people that God says that about. That God says, hey, they will be my people, and I will be their God. Let me read you a few of those scriptures. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye, hey, who's ye? Hey, who's the Corinthian church? Gentiles, right? He says, for ye, the Bible says, are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Remember the promises that we talked about that God made to Abraham back in Genesis chapter number 17. God said to Abraham that the promise would be for an everlasting promise. And guess what else he said? And I will be their God. Hey, who were those promises of Abraham made to? The seed. And who's the seed? Christ was. And if ye are in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So who is this talking about then? Is it just talking about the physical seed of Israel? No, it's talking about the spiritual. Now look at what the Bible says. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. This is an important one. I want you to see this one, Ephesians chapter number 2. And look at verse number 12 when you get over there. Ephesians chapter number 2. And verse number 12, look what the Word of God has to say there. Ephesians 2:12. And the Bible says this in Ephesians 2:12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and what? Strangers. Now remember how we started out the sermon? How we were talking about the strangers that would come in and that would sojourn among them. And hey, what does the Bible say here about us? That in time past, we were not a people. And that in time past, we were strangers, continue reading there, strangers from the, and it says, and being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both, hey, who's the both? Hey, we're talking about two groups of people in this portion of Scripture, aren't we? Before, we were talking about, hey, you go back, it talks about the circumcision and the uncircumcision. It's talking about the Jews, the nation of Israel, and the Gentiles. And what does it say there? Hey, he's made of both. What's the next word? one, the Bible says, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What did he say there? Hey, God's broken down the middle wall of partition between us and the Israelites, and then he's made of both one, the Bible says. Look at what else it says. Verse number 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of, what's that word? Twain. What's twain mean? Two. Hey, you made of twain, what's the next word? One new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile, notice this, both. Hey, are you starting to get the idea that God's trying to emphasize something here? I mean, look at what he says. Made of both unto God in what? In one body. It's amazing what the English language would do to you, right? I mean, it's just so hard to understand. I mean, look at what it says. They're both in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more, what's it say? Strangers and foreigners. Hey, we're as one born in the land. We're as one born in the country. That we're as one. Hey, we have all the rights, the privileges, all the promises that God gave to Abraham. They're given to Abraham and to the seed of Abraham and to you and I if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all got me preaching so hard I knocked my notes off tonight. Look back at what the Bible has to say there. Bible says this in verse number 19 again. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Hey, what did the Bible say there? Did it say there's two households or one? One, that we are of the household of God. You see, it's always been one household. Then in the Old Testament, the strangers came in and they sojourned among them and they circumcised themselves and they kept the Passover. And because they did those things, they were as one born in the land. They were as one born in the country. They were given inheritance in whatsoever tribe they sojourned in. And guess what that says about you and I? Haven't we kept the Passover? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is our Passover, the Bible says. Hey, aren't we circumcised according to the Word of God? Yes, because Jesus Christ has become the minister of our circumcision, and therefore we have been brought in and we're no more strangers. And guess what? In whatsoever tribe you sojourn in, you give an inheritance. Now, what tribe is that talking about? Well, let's look at what the Bible has to say. Look at what it says there, verse number 20. And built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Hey, that's Old Testament and New Testament, isn't it? Hey, look back at what it says there. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Now let's go to Revelation chapter number 21. We're going to close with this here tonight. Revelation chapter number 21, because this is the land that matters. This is the inheritance that matters. Hey, you want that physical piece of land over there? You know what? You can have it right now. Because guess what? During the millennial kingdom, I'll get to enjoy it. During the millennial kingdom, you'll get to enjoy it. And after that, guess what? We're going to enjoy all the promises of God that God made to Abraham for all eternity, because they're an everlasting covenant, the Bible said. Look at what the Bible has to say here, Revelation chapter number 21. And look down at verse number 2. And the Bible says this, Revelation 21, verse number 2. And the Bible says, and I, John, saw the holy city, knew what? Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall, notice this, dwell with them, and they shall be what? His people, the Bible says, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now, for time's sake, let's skip down to verse number 9. And the Bible says right there, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Notice what he shows in verse number 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now listen, many Baptists today are confused on what the bride of Christ is, aren't they? I mean, I've heard many different theories out there, and you've got the Baptist briders out there that are all mixed up on what it is. But hey, this is the only chapter in the Bible that says, I'm going to show you the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife. And what's the thing that you see? You see the city, New Jerusalem, descending out of the heavens. And look what else the Bible says there. The Bible says this down verse number 12, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of what? The 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Hey, remember what we were talking about? That those who would come in and sojourn among them, that they would receive inheritance whithersoever they chose, that whatsoever tribe. Hey, guess what? There's a name that I've been chosen, that I've been given by the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a city that I'm a citizen of, and it's not here on this earth. You see, it's up in heaven, and it's the New Jerusalem is a citizen that we are of. The Bible tells us about Abraham. Let me read it to you in Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned. Remember what we've been talking about? Strangers that are sojourning in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly. Wherefore God, notice this, is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Hey, all throughout the Bible, what do we see there? What does it take to be a Jew in the eyes of God? Just be a citizen of New Jerusalem. And how do you become a citizen of New Jerusalem? Well, if you went back to Revelation chapter number 21, you know what you'd read? You'd read that the nations of them that are saved dwell in that city. That they bring their glory into that city. That they bring their honor into that city. What did it take all throughout the Bible to be a Jew? Just believe God, and they were to keep the commandments of God in the Old Testament. They were to be circumcised. They were to be they keep the Passover. And in the New Testament, we've done all those things. And the Bible told us our uncircumcision would be counted for circumcision, the Bible says. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one what? Inwardly, the Bible says. Let's end in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've shown us in your word tonight. I just ask that you be with us, that you'd help us to take these things, to study.